Everybody, this is Andy Lopez, and you're listening to Don't Panic, It's Organic. Let me help you to work with Mother Nature instead of against her. That's what it's all about. So we have a lot going on today. This is one of my theme songs called Invisible Gardening. Okay, so today, let's see, this month, of course, is all about the soil. I'm still fascinated by the soil and the soul. The more I think about it, the more there's definite connections. Anyway, today, this is, it's called About the Soil. So I started doing a radio show back in early 70s, mid 70s, maybe even. Well, by late 70s, I was already doing it. And one of my favorite talks is I do a show called It's Alive. And I go, it's alive, 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 alive. I wish I had an echo, which I probably do, but I don't want to do it because then I don't know how to unecho. The last thing you want to do is start an echo that you can't unecho, right? Anyway, it's called that. So this is the third week of the third Saturday, third show of the month. Last week we talked about mycelium, and this week I'm going to talk about the soil connection. I usually when I write soil connection, in parentheses I write S-O-U-L, right? Soil connection, and I talk a lot about how there is a connection, believe it or not. And next week I'm doing secrets to healthy plants, trees, people's pets, and it's also a talk about a little bit about climate change, which I'll talk a little bit about today too, just to talking about how the mycelium is important in our battle against climate change, or in our role in climate change. The phone number is here to call if you want to talk to me. And I got a question, by the way, somebody wanted me to talk about today, so I'm going to cover that. But if you have if you want to talk to me on the air, you can call the 888 number, which is 888-627-6008, right? Or you can call the direct line at 323-944-4831. Or if you use Skype, you can Skype us at BBS Radio PR. It's all lowercase, BBS Radio PR. And that'll get you right into the Skype machine there, and Mr. Engineer will do something to make you smile. A little smiley face will show up, right? So what I'm going to do right now is I don't know what I'm going to do. Okay. So let me talk to you a little bit about the contest that we have going on. This is you got 2 weeks left. You got this week, and you have next week for the contest. Let me put this. My voice goes up. No, that's not my voice, is it? This is my voice over here. Yeah, that's my voice. It sounds a little better. I have an echo. I'm not sure if it's me or it's probably be me. It's probably me because it's more stuff. Anyway, so we're having a contest. And, if you haven't entered have you entered the contest yet? Every month we have the same contest, but every month I have different, I add additional prizes that you get. Okay. So, this month, you're getting, on top of the lifetime membership, which gets you a two books, the colored version of my book and the black and white version of my book. I explained before why I do that. The colored version is something you want to save, you want to put away, you want to take care of it. The black and white version, go ahead and take it out with you and destroy it, because that's what happens. It gets destroyed after a while. this month, I'm giving away a grower's kit, and a grower's kit is 5 pounds of my Invisible Gardener's Rock Dust Blend, which is just that. It's a blend of about 14 different types of rock dust and all sources of microbial trace minerals, microbial life. You know, they're in various different granular forms, or sometimes they're in a powdered form. And that's all blended together. And as part of the kit, you get that's the 5 pounds of the rock dust, but you get a gallon, that would be good too, a quart of the super seaweed. Now, the quart sells for $150 if the rock dust sells for $49.95, which I'm probably going to change to $50 because you're not getting fooled. Even though a lady says, well, a penny saved is a penny earned, I suppose so. But you know, for me, $50 is no different. I think I'm fooled and trying to fool you into thinking it's cheaper and selling it, and I don't play that game myself. But anyway, it's $49.95. The super seaweed, I believe, is $149.95 too. It might just be that, because that's what it turns out. I may have done it, or maybe $150. But anyway, so you get a really good deal, a $200 deal you're going to get. Plus, if you win, so you're going to get the book, black wine version of the book, and the color version, which I'll send it to you separately. I used to send them out together, and in one year, the super seaweed burst, and it's just destroyed the two books. So I'm sending them separately. And I figured if it bursts and it soaks the rock dust, well, that's a good start. That's a good deal. Just blend it all together and use it. Not really. You let me know if it breaks, but I try to package it up very well so it doesn't fall apart. But if you haven't entered the contest yet, there's only one way you can enter the contest. See, and that's through my newsletter. So you go to my website, invisiblegardener.com, and you look for a newsletter, and you sign up for the newsletter. So when you get the first time you sign up for the newsletter, you will automatically be entered in the contest. After that, you have to enter every month for that month's contest. And the only way you do it is through the Enter Me in This Month's Contest link in the newsletter. Click on it. Up comes an email form. It says, enter me in January's February's contest. And that goes into a separate folder. It automatically email puts it into that folder for February's contest, from which I picked the winner. That's the only way it's going to happen. So just go to my website, invisiblegardener.com. And sign up for the newsletter. So if you already have the newsletter, cool. So you get the newsletter every week. You only have to enter once. I don't think it'll help you if you enter more than once, because I think what will happen is that the email will know it's you, and I think it goes into, you know, I don't know, maybe you could get picked. Maybe it will have different email for dates, you know. It hasn't happened before. In other words, a person hasn't entered more than once, and I'm not suggesting you do, even though I'm thinking, maybe you could. I don't know. I wouldn't want to. I suppose if you entered every week, you would get greater chances of getting picked, but I have a feeling it doesn't pick you it knows if you have this, you know, if you did it 10 times, it knows that email is 10 times, and it just considers it once. One email, see? Okay, because I have automated it. Yes, I have. Okay, so then, so you will get a lifetime membership. You always get a lifetime membership to the club. So today I'm going to talk about mycelium, right? And then I'm also going to talk, then next week is going to be the as I said, the secrets to the healthy plants. And then, but first, I wanted to go over this question, because that's really part of what I do. It's, oh, I hit my elbow. I can't feel my arm. Oh, it's so okay. So this lady named, let's see, what's her name? Karen. Hi, Karen. Asked me a question. Asked, with all this rain, I have a bumper crop of weeds, most of them in the bark mulch. What is the best way to get rid of them? Okay. So there are a couple of different answers to that, you know, because part of me would tell you that when I lived in Miami, it would rain all the time, and weeds is, you know, if it rains regularly, weeds will grow, the wind blows them around, all kinds of stuff. Even here in Southern California, when you get rain, weeds pop up, you know, as you can see, you know, everywhere, coming up normal grasses and stuff like that. So what I did, I took a long-term approach, right? I said, okay, so I'm going to, you didn't tell me if it was on a path or it's around, or if it's around plants and stuff like that, because one of the things that I don't like about wood chips, right, is that you can't really turn them over, you can't do anything with them, they sort of lie there, you know. And so one of the problems is weeds will come up through that. That basically means you may want to add more wood chips to it, maybe, because that's one of the things you could do is you can buy a couple of bags of wood chips and throw it on top of where the plants are at, where the weeds are at. One of the things, of course, is you go through with my hands and pull them up, you know. But what it tells me is that when you basically, I assume it's a path that you're walking on, basically just maybe cleaned it once, you know, cleaned it up once, and then put wood chips down. And then, of course, when it rains, the weeds will come right up through there. So what I did as a long-term solution is when I made a path, I'm wondering why my voice is too weird, because I can't, I guess it's okay. I guess my voice is kind of like, I'm not used to this kind of deep voice, you know what I'm saying? Anyway, so what I did was that if it's on a path, I would clean it up, right, and I would lay something down. What people do is they lay this black plastic, which I think is awful because it breaks down. Eventually, you have little pieces of plastic everywhere. Not good. So being a sneaky guy that I am, I decided to lay something down that would decompose slowly over time. That would be pine. So believe it or not, I have used a variety of different things to lay down in the garden, because I also lay them down around the raised beds. I eventually laid them down around certain fruit trees and stuff like that, you know, that didn't want growing. And it's a very easy way to control the weeds if you learn how to be real sneaky with things. So one of the things I did was I went to a carpet place and I bought... I didn't buy it. They throw in a whole bunch of these, you know, when they go to a person's home, they throw the rugs away, or they have lots of carpets left over from cuttings and stuff like that, little strips, whatever. So they gave me the strips. I loaded up. And these are like cotton rugs. Or when I started it, I was trying to be very careful as to whatever chemicals are in it. But usually after they're being used, all the chemicals are gone. And the material would have to be something that would break down into some type of organic matter rather than plastic or, other types of materials that do not break down that are chemically, you know, made. So I like using... Because the rugs are good if you can get them, you know, the old, and if you get them that they were made with actual wool or cotton or some type of organic fiber, right? Because there are lots of different ways that people do that nowadays. So another thing you could do is you can get cardboard. Cardboard is just, it's also organic in the way it will break down eventually over time. Lay it down, put the wood chips on top of it, put enough of it, you won't see it, and that deters the weed. You can also lay down, in any case, you have to remove all the wood chips, right, and then put something down. So that's a project, because you have to remove the wood chips, you have to break up the soil, try to get rid of the weeds as much as you can, the roots, lay something down. Lots of different things you could lay down that would work. I'm just giving you some of the things, like the cardboard. You can take newspapers, put them down. Cardboard works really good because when it's to get wet, it flattens down really, really well. I've even had a whole bunch of clothing that I got tired of. I want to get rid of, I put down, you know. But there are other things you could put there that would, you know, because I've used rocks, different types of rocks and different sizes of the rocks, as opposed to the wood chips. There are different types of wood chips you can lay down as well. If you like that size of wood chips, there are bigger size wood chips. Ideally, you want to put something down that deters the weeds and stuff from growing and coming up. Okay. Now, if you can't do that, and if that's too much work to do that, then you go an alternate route. You say, okay, what can I do to that weed without pulling it up that I can deter it without polluting the environment and myself and everything, okay? Okay, so there are a couple of things you could do along those lines. One of them is vinegar. So, you know, you can go to the 99-cent store or any of the big places where you can buy it in bulk. You can buy a gallon of vinegar, white vinegar, you know. Doesn't have to be organic. Vinegar is vinegar, you know, so white vinegar works really good. But you want to spray it straight. You want to pour it into a quart sprayer and go out there and spray the plant. I would spray it once a day for a week and then see what it does, right? If it's raining a lot, then you may want to, spray it after the rain because the rain would tend to dilute it and such, right? And ideally, the best time to spray anything is long after rain. So if you think it looks like it's going to be raining some more, so anything you spray out there will get dissolved and washed away really fast. So personally, I would go out there and just pull them by hand because now it's a good time. The soil is very loose. Just pay somebody if you can't do it. Go out there and spend some time and pull it out by the roots. That's really ideally the best way, just to pull the stuff up by the roots. And ideally, also, too, you can go back and lay more wood chips down, right? And when it's dry, the weeds won't be so apt to grow up unless there are some source of water nearby. So you won't have that problem, but if you do have a source of water and you don't want them to grow, then you can use the vinegar to prevent them from growing. The vinegar will dissolve them and kill them. Again, it won't do much if it's raining. It won't be as effective as if the soil is wet and you put something down on it. Your best bet is really to pull them up, okay? So I think, I hope that helps you a little bit. I mean, it's not really maybe it's not the answer you want, you know, but I think it will help you. I think it's an ongoing thing because, you know, with the rains coming on and off and the water nearby, there's going to be weeds growing. They're airborne, you know. Another thing that I've done too is, like I said, rocks, pebbles. But what I liked is I got glass. What I did was I bought, there's a couple places in LA, they sell these, their glass, they're crushed down to a powder. And some type of a glass, like a sand, that you lay down. You lay it down. But they also have very, very tiny little pelletized rocks, little pebbles. So you may want to look at, you know, different types of rocks that you can lay down on your path that you can walk on. And nothing would really grow on those rocks. You can pull them up by hand really, really fast. So they don't establish any roots. But try the vinegar. Vinegar works really good. There are many other things you could use. Like beer. Beer works really good. Or any type of alcoholic beverages, because alcohol is the key word there, right? It makes them, you know, destroys, it kills them, right, without any destroying the soil. Because you don't want to do too much damage to the soil while you're getting rid of these little guys, right? So those are a couple of different ways. There are other different natural weed control products on the market. One is called corn gluten. It's a pelletized corn that they chop up. It's corn that they chop up into little tiny pellets. And they found a long time ago that corn, because it's very high in protein, inhibits the growth of these most weeds. And it also stops vegetables from growing and stuff like that. And that's something you have to basically apply in the springtime when these things are going to be sprouting. So like if you had applied this stuff a few weeks ago on your path, there would be less of them coming up, if any of them. It also has a lot to do, if it really rains a lot, it probably washes everything away. Your neighbor will have a weed-free lawn. But that's what it's used for. It's actually used for a lawn. You sprinkle it on your lawn. I do it 4 times a year to my customers as a regular maintenance, because it's also high in nitrogen as well. And so it'll provide, I think it's 900, which is pretty good. And also it works as a biological fungicide. So it controls funguses amongst your lawn. I wouldn't use it in the vegetable garden because it stops some plants from growing, you know, from starting your seeds, unless you already grow from plants and you don't want other weeds growing coming up around your plants. So you can put it around your tomato plants, you know, for example. You can put it around sunflowers. You can put it around the watermelons, other plants that you don't want weeds coming up. You can do that in your path where your raised beds are at. So when you're walking, nothing, no weeds are coming up. So I'm hoping that that helps you, and that thank you very much for listening to the show. Oh, by the way, you're also entered in the contest, because that's another way you get in the contest. So since I have your email and I know who you are, you'll be entered in my contest. And then if you're a member, you enter the contest. A few members have asked me, what happens if you're a member? Members will always get something in addition to what everybody else is getting. And so I haven't, this month, members are getting a Don't Panic, It's Organic t-shirt. And then I'm printing out more of them. I'm in the process now. My problem with the t-shirt and the hat, because I have Don't Panic, It's Organic hats, you know, the whole thing, is that I can find a organic cotton, right? A company that has organic cotton, but the ink is like, holy bananas, right? So I had this one place I bought different color t-shirts. There was orange, you know, there was a green one, and I think everybody liked the black one and the military green one, and there was a couple other ones, but these were like really bad dyes. A few people complained that they got sick, you know, in the skin, and even I, when I got them, I noticed that it was leaving, you know, it was running off on my skin. I had to wash them. So what I had to do is I had to pre-wash them before the people send them out to people. I said, no, that's not such a good idea. Right? So if you know of an organic t-shirt company that doesn't charge me an arm and a leg, I can, I'll be happy to take advantage of their services. So that's what I'm looking for right now, an organic t-shirt company that has also natural inks, natural dyes. But otherwise, what's happening is I'm getting a whole bunch of well, members can also get the book. You know, I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to tell them you have your choice, you know, because if you're a member, you never got the book, I could send you a copy of the book. You know, you should have a copy of the book, you know. And as a matter of fact, there's no reason why I can't send you the copy of the book and the black white version too, because you should get that also. So that's what I'm going to do. If you're a member and if you enter the contest, since you already have a lifetime membership, you're not going to get that. See, so you have to get something different, and you'll get the book and the black and white version as well. On top of whatever the month is, so this month is the grower's kit, organic grower's kit. Isn't that cool? Okay, so let me do this. Let's see what's going on in here. So this is a song I'm working on right now. Let me see if it's working. Yep. So you're listening to Don't Panic, It's Organic, your host, me, Andy Lopez, the Invisible Gardener. Coming up after the show, I'm doing another show called The Cosmic Spaceship, where I get to play my music. I'm thinking of doing something interesting, different. Interesting, well, yeah, but different too. So today's show is about the mycelium. I'm trying to introduce you to this fungi that grows in the soil. And I've been doing that for a long time, you know, because when I started my business, I immediately, no, believe it or not, keyed into, gee, it's the soil, right? That's why I'm very good at making compost. I tell people, you know why you make compost? You're healing the soil. Okay, you're bringing the soil back to life. Okay, so I started, one of the things I hear a lot, and I think it's really cool, is that the mycelium is called Mother Nature's internet. Isn't that cool? And when I think about it, I don't know about you, but when I think about the internet, interweb, right? It's a web. They call the internet the web, the World Wide Web, right? It's a web. But it's really very, it's a network. It's really very similar and identical to a mycelium network, to the universe, how the galaxies and the stars, and how, if you look at a nebula, you'll see the web. And I was listening to a lecture by Edward Mitchell. He's an ex-astronaut, and I actually met him when I was in the service. Oh, look at that. That's interesting. And he started because he had this experience when he went out to space. He went, whoa, wow. This is actually a Hindu name, something similar to samadhi, where you acknowledge the consciousness of everything, the oneness of everything. But what you're really looking at is a neurological network in a massive, infinite scale. Our brains are a neurological network. It communicates with everything in one part of the body and everything, the brain. And if you look at the network, the energy passage, right, the way that the brain works and how the energy information travels between, and that's a very identical to mycelium web that's in the soil, to the web that's in the cosmos. And this ex-astronaut, one of the things that, you know, he started, so he, when he came back down, he was really out there, wow, you know. And he started basically, first, I think he started the Psychic Air Force, and then he went on to starting parapsychology. Then he studied all the different Hindu mystics things and all this, everything everywhere about all these different things that he wanted to understand more. And so I haven't seen the whole lecture yet, but basically the information he started, they're looking at it from a scientific point of view and how things are interconnected. And they're realizing that it's information. It transfers information from one to the other. There's a harmonious connection, a resonance, and how they work. Being a scientist myself, I love talking about resonance. I love talking about neurological networks, and it comes down to resonance. But it's much more interesting than that, in the sense that scientists, you see, I think outside of the box, and I would love to sit down and talk with them. That's what I was thinking the other day. Gee, we should have a conversation, because they're starting to realize information can get transferred instantly through the universe, through the way the cosmic energy is and everything works, just like in our bodies. And one of the things that, you know, ouch. I find really, really interesting is that when I look at the mycelium, right, and people call it Mother Nature's intranet, it's this network that's really, really interesting, because you say, which came first, the chicken and the egg, right? Which came first, the universe, mycelium energy network, or this mycelium energy network that's in the soil? Of course, the universe. And so what it means to me is that this is a image of that network. And what it means more is that it came about because of the network, and that it is part of the network. It's not a separate entity. And in any type of neurological network, information is transferred instantly from one to the other. But it's not just information, and because information in one sense is food, but it's nutrition. So in dealing with the mycelium earth soil network, right, it's the nutrition that's shared. It's a nutrition that the mycelium does. That's what I tell people that mycelium is the greatest gardener, the world's greatest gardener, right? He's the beginning of the food chain. She is the beginning of the food chain and the end of the food chain. When you talk about, we hear a lot about Gaia, right? The consciousness of Gaia. Well, that's what we're talking about, is this being's my consciousness. Many people think when they say mushrooms, they think psilocybin, psychedelic mushrooms and all that consciousness stuff, which is partly true. But it's not a coincidence that the mycelium has a consciousness and we have a consciousness, right? It is. And what's interesting, too, is that the brain, because we have evolved from mycelium. We have evolved from this fungi. Okay? If you look at, and you go to the library and look up fungi, and you'll see how the fungi, there are plenty of charts you can see. I have this one chart I'm looking at here, right? And it's basically the Eukarya branch, Eukarya. And it basically shows these are different types of fungi and how over 600 million years evolved, right? And how they became from fungi, animals evolved, and plants. And one of my shows that I do every once in a while, and one's coming up soon, is I invite doctors, and I also invite other scientists who deal with other types of doctors, because there are different names, you know, they all have different types of doctors that deal with different things, the stomachs and stuff. This particular area that I'm talking about is the human stomach, and how it's called a biomine, for example, and how what the relationship is here with the human stomach and the soil. And if you really were to study it and understand that what the mycelium does and what it has evolved to do, right, is that it eats and it digests and it transfers that basic mineral combination of carbon or whatever it is into a form of nutrient that can be absorbed by plants and can be absorbed by the living things. It's very interesting chemical process that has evolved and how it uses, because I talk a lot about carbon, right, and how the mycelium helps. It's a very important ally in how it controls carbon in the air and carbon in the water, right? Right now we're having a problem with climate change, right, which is basically getting heating up because of the CO2 and the methane. All the things are going up in the air that are not getting recycled or controlled the way they used to be. And one of the main things that controls CO2 in the air is the soil, as well as the water, the ocean. But the soil is the key to everything. The mycelium in the soil is the key to everything. Because one of the things it does, it takes carbon and turns it into an acid, right? An acid that then breaks down whatever it comes into, it turns it into two carbon dioxide molecules. It's called calcium oxalate. And calcium oxalate comes from oxalate acid and calcium oxalate. And these are crystals that the fungi forms. Over the millions of years, it has evolved to dissolve anything, any form of minerals, it'll dissolve it. And the result is a food, a very complex food that's available to everything. And it uses carbon. It takes carbon out of the air and puts it into and uses it, see? And then it stores it in the soil. That carbon is there in the soil. And so, but what is so important about this is that if that function is not there, if that carbon is not getting, eaten up and used and stored by the mycelium, then it goes to the ocean. And the ocean absorbs it. And the ocean only has a limited capability of absorbing CO2. I talk a lot about, I talk a lot, don't I? What is the class? You can just read my mind. Okay, I'm just going to go. Get it? Did you guys? Okay. So, last time I think I had one of the talks I gave was about climate change, about how the Gulf Stream works, and how if the Gulf Stream is not functioning correctly, that it changes our climate. And my recent column, not this last one, the one before last, I wrote, "The Ice Age Has Started." Yep. And it truly has. You look at what's going on just around here. I was just reading the paper today. You have ice. Yep, we have more snow in certain parts of California than in Boston. Okay. And certain places, other places where the coldest it has ever been in centuries, they have never gotten it that cold before. And at the same time, the hottest has ever been. Last year was the hottest it's ever been on record, one of the five hottest on record. And so people are having a hard time trying to figure out, wrap their head around that. And I'm happy to explain. But if the oceans get stressed out to where they can't absorb the carbon dioxide anymore, it takes a combination of things to make that happen, okay? Say, because just under normal circumstances, the ocean, the Mother Nature has a different, again, neurological network. A neurological network basically means that your hands and your fingers and your toes and your nails, your eyes and everything are all working together. They're all communicating with each other. So one part doesn't work, the other one will take its place, right? And so in nature, if the soil is having a rough time dealing with the carbon CO2, the ocean kicks in and starts absorbing more to take the place. But eventually the soil has to kick back in again to start functioning because the ocean can only take so much. And what happens when one of the reasons why the Earth's soil is not absorbing, not functioning, there are lots of different reasons. But what's happening now in our situation is that the human beings are destroying the mycelium. They're toxic after toxic after toxic. Chemical fertilizers, pesticides, herbicides, fungicides, toxic. Even the water is toxic. Okay? And so if the mycelium is not functioning, CO2 is, and the CO2 is getting worse for a variety of reasons, right? We have destroyed three quarters of the Earth's forest. We're destroying the ocean's ability to hold CO2 because it's holding plastic, it's holding a whole bunch of other stuff. It ain't holding the CO2. And then as it gets hotter, fresh water comes and melts in with hot salt water. I talked to a lot about the salt water and the difference between fresh water and salt water. That's the key to it, everything. It gets hotter, more fresh water everywhere. Gets colder. Okay. So. Yeah, I have to relax. Yeah. This is one of my favorite books is called "A Mycelium Running: How Mushrooms Can Help Save the World" by Paul Stamets. And because it was sent to me by somebody who said you should read this. And I thought, well, it's pretty cool. I like the information it has I like the fact they basically have been saying, but I've been saying, it says here, living in harmony with our natural environment is the key to our health as individuals and as species. Well, they, you know, that is one of the most important things that I've read in a long time, and that's really hits it on the because I as I'm saying here is that if the mycelium goes, then so does everything else. All the chains that are set up, the network goes too. The network goes, we're in deep doo-doo. What's going to happen, interesting enough, is that mycelium will survive. The fungi has survived. Well, when the dinosaurs were destroyed that last time when the meteor came, you know, destroyed 90% of the planet, they survived. And they probably will survive this thing too. And so they'll come back, hopefully. And hopefully they'll get it together again and get the earth and the soil back together and hopefully help us, humans. But I don't know if we were going to be around, maybe, you know, right? What I'm always saying is that we're not paying any attention to what we're doing to the soil or to this living being here. And we're not paying any attention to the relationship to what's going on. And therefore, we're also not paying attention to ourselves because we're identical in a lot of different ways. We evolved, as you can see from all the different charts on evolutionary things in this tree, we evolved from the fungi. We decided to, we're going to take the way that the fungi takes nutrients by using an acid to break it down and so forth. We're going to form it into a little bubble, make it into a stomach, and then we can go. We can go. We're not restricted by roots. But it's the same thing. It's the same thing. Just different creatures are in different places doing slightly different things, but it's the same thing. It's all about getting, how do we get that nutrition that we need? And that's what it's all about in terms of, you know, animals eating other animals, and eat other animals and eat other animals. Exactly, right? But if the basic animals, basic lower part of this chain are not getting what they need, and they're not getting anywhere along the chain, no matter how many of these creatures you eat along the top of the chain, you're not going to get the things that you need. And it's the same thing with the stomach and the human body. If you destroy the biological life that's in your stomach, that's what happens when you do antibiotics, which is interesting, or any other type of drugs or chemicals or junk food or any other things you stick in your stomach, it will destroy the microflora in your stomach, which will destroy your ability to absorb the minerals that you need, which will in turn make you weaker, make you more susceptible to diseases, to even pests, especially in plants. That's exactly what happens. When the soil stops functioning, right? When the soil stops functioning, plants will get stressed out. Remember, the higher the stress, the greater the pest. I'm still having dental work. You won't believe it. Another story. So what I do is I learned that a long time ago. See, I figured that out. I figured out, gee whiz, maybe it makes more sense to have a fully functioning soil. Maybe it'd be better we just get out of the way, right, and let it do its thing. Or maybe it'd be better if, as a human being, because I'm a good gardener, right? I'm a good gardener. That's what a gardener does. It says, let me do this for you. Let me help you do your thing, right? I'm not going to do something bad for you. Here, take this junk food, right? That doesn't really work out really well in the long run. See what I'm saying, right? And so what I see happening is everywhere human beings are destroying the mycelium, the living being that's in this earth. And by the way, I believe, and I don't know if anybody else believes it, but it's one consciousness. I don't think it's different individual mycelium beings living on the planet. I think it's one consciousness. You'll realize that human beings are kind of unique in a lot of ways. They have this individual consciousness. But even individual consciousness of a human being there is such a thing as a group consciousness of the human beings, just like there's a group consciousness in whatever animal or plant or insect you decide to you look at. And so what it comes down to in certain ways is that right now we have to pay attention to all these things that are going on, okay? We have to pay attention to, I mean, it's not an easy time frame for people because people are basically stupid. I love that.
Call from Delgado Lutzer.
You know I'm doing a radio show, right? Right now.
No, I'm sorry.
Yeah, live. Say hi to everybody. Come on, say hi to everybody.
What is the station? I'll listen to it.
Oh, no, go ahead. Say hi to everybody. What, you hung up on me? Damn. So I realize there's a lot going on right now. But if the human race wants to survive, it had better get it together. We need to realize that we are doing, you know, I had a dream the other day, it was a long time ago, but I used to tell people you're sitting on the branch and you're cutting the branch off. You know, you're up in a tree and you're sitting up there in a branch and you're cutting the branch off. But my dreams saw this person sitting on the branch and the tree and had a long arm, he's cutting the trunk, the whole thing out. And I truly believe that it's not the earth that's in trouble. It's all life as we know it, especially human beings. Many people don't realize what it took to get here, the miracle that happened, and the way all these things came together. And it's not an easy task. We were a planet of methane for a long time. And then came along this fungi that decided, hey, we can take methane and convert it into oxygen. There's just a few of them left on the earth by now. The scientists said, we have discovered this ancient fungi, and you won't believe where it's growing. It's only growing there and nowhere else in the world. But I don't want time. It used to cover the whole earth. And because of that, it took methane in and converted it into oxygen. At the same time, the world started getting, we went through the Ice Age and the Cold Age. One of the things that the ice age did is it froze the methane into the soil. That's where you get the permafrost. So methane got frozen into the soil. One of the things that's going on now, because it's getting warmer and warmer, all the cold, because the freezing stuff tends to keep things down in there and tends to control the way the lava flows and all this other volcanic stuff happens. But you get rid of that, and the lava flow is going to start flowing again, and all these other things will start functioning again. The methane will start flowing again, and then we go right back to being an uninhabitable planet for a long time. Only specific life forms will grow there. Duh. And we're at that place right now where it's not going to be so easy to stop that pendulum, because it's a pendulum effect. We took it up so high, we let go, and now it's going to come down the other way, see? And it's going to be a long time before it settles down in the center, if we're lucky, because lots of other things have to happen at the same time in a specific order, because I talked up, I mentioned the Gulf Stream. Well, gee whiz, what happens when you think when it gets so warm that it melts the glaciers, right? And the glaciers, fresh water, salt water, mix them together. What do you got? A big mess. No more climates. So when you don't have the climates, what do you get? Eventually, what you get is another ice age for a long time. Ice age for a long time. Then that's Mother Nature's way of saying, okay, let's get the cold back. Let's freeze the methane. Let's do what we need to get to slow down the lava, because that's a natural process. The ice age will build up and slow everything back, to settle everything back down again. Eventually, things will start to settle down a little bit where it starts to warm, because you still get the cycles of warm and cold, but eventually you get nothing but cold. Eventually you get some of the warm, eventually a little bit of, because as the Gulf Stream starts to flow again, things have to happen to the ocean, because the ocean has to convert back to a salt water ocean, not a fresh water ocean. And there are many things that causes the ocean to become salt. That would be called living things. When things die and things are evolving in the water, that's why you get the salt. But you also get the salt from the soil. the soil, it's the one that breaks down the minerals. And so rain would naturally take it to the river, to the ocean. Hello, right? Oh, I love this. This is so good. Yeah, I guess maybe what I'll do, I'll do that. I don't know. I was going to do that. We'll see, right? So you're listening to Don't Panic, It's Organic with your host, Andy Lopez, Invisible Gardener. That would be me. And so here's another song, and then we'll come back and talk some more. Here he comes, I think. Maybe not. Okay, so basically what I'm saying is that we have, you know, we have time, not a lot, but we have some time. And in my opinion, the first thing we should do is somehow just pay people, other countries, not to cut trees down. We have to stop cutting the trees down. That's one of the things we have to do immediately. 20 years ago, I said we should plant more trees. I was volunteering for the tree people, duh, and I said, plant more trees, and that'll help climate change. And they said, no, that won't work. We can't, I forget the term they use it in terms of, we can't tell what one tree would do in terms of what benefit we get from it. And I go, because they would be 20-year-old trees now. So the sooner you plant some trees, the better. More trees, more CO2 comes in. When the air gets taken into the plants, more of CO2 that the mycelium would have, because the trees absorb the CO2 into their system, and when they die or parts of their body, you know, the branches stuff go to the soil. That's where you get the CO2 also. Lots of different ways to get that CO2, isn't it? But it's important for people to understand that. The trees are very, very, very highly important, and we need to stop that. We also need to start planting. It's almost too late to start planting, but it's, you know, you can give it a shot. There are certain places that are more logical to plant than others. You can't do it in the desert, but you can do it in an environment that's more conducive to plants. You'll find that as the climate changes, you'll be growing things in places you didn't really expect to be growing. And that's one of the things about genetically modified engineering. They can help, if used correctly, to help things grow in places that are harder to grow now. The second thing to do is to help in terms of the soil, you know, because that's really, I would think, is the first thing, okay, to me is, you know, but this is a soil is a long-term thing. So you always talk about long-term and short-term solutions, right? So a short-term solution is to stop cutting the trees down. Poof. Another short-term solution is to stop using coal. Don't use a coil. Coil. Coal. I can't even pronounce it now. Let's just get off car. Get off of the fossil fuel. Another easy, not exactly easy, but you'll figure it out. Another short-term solution is to stop polluting the ocean. We need to go out there and immediately clean it up, get rid of the plastic and all the junk that's in there. Another short-term solution would be maybe we should stop using nuclear power plants. Even if we were to shut them down, it's going to take a long time to clean that up, to get rid of it. And then we do not need a nuclear winter. Another thing that we can do is, as a short-term solution, is we need to learn how to transportation. We need to change our method of transportation, right? Change our method of food production. When it comes to food production, farmers contribute to a great loss in carbon, a great loss. Damage to the soil, because farming is agriculture is really big in a lot of places, and what how they're farming is totally wrong by turning the soil over and destroying everything and using more chemicals. So that has to stop. These are things that we can deal with right away, since I would just pay people to behave. Basically, it'd be worth it, and it'd be cheaper in the long run too to pay people not to cut trees down, or pay countries not to cut trees down, or to do cattle or palm oil, whatever else they're doing. We can behave. If it's a matter of money, then we should, because either that or you just go, have a big spaceship with ammunition and take over the planet, right? But the way it would work is we really have to just change our goals. At the same time, we need to address the soil. It's going to take a long time for the soil to reestablish itself. And so that's an important issue that could take hundreds of years, because it didn't take us very long to damage it, but it does take a while to build up. Like I said, if you get rid of all the beings on the planet, it'll be a long time, but the Earth will figure out a way to regain balance. Trust me, it would. So you're listening to Don't Panic, It's Organic. Next week, I'm going to continue with the talk about the mycelium, about the soil, and more specifically, I would key into Brix levels, how to deal with certain types of pests and diseases. So if you have a garden problem, if you have a fruit tree problem, or if your tree, somebody says your tree has this disease or that disease, this is a good time to send me email to talk to me about it. You can send me email too. That's the easy way to do that. I prefer that if you go to my website and you do the inquiry button, that's the best email I get, because it gets separated from the email you send me. Otherwise, it goes into, I get thousands of emails, junk email a day, and I can't, sometimes I don't get it all. I hit the delete button. I can't, after 300 or 400 looking at it, I go, I can't look anymore. So go to the website, inquiry. Put your inquiry there about the show. And while you're there, you might as well sign up for the newsletter, right? That way you get information on all the articles that I write and the specials, and you also get a way to enter the contest. So coming up, I think my engineer should send me something, but maybe he went to sleep. He does that. He just goes out and hangs out and remembers the good old days when he was growing his mushrooms and his fruit trees, and I guess you all know what happened with the fire, So we'll be back. I'll be back next week and continuing our talks. So check out InvisibleGardener.com. If you feel like you need to spend some money, just join the club. It's $55 for a lifetime. I have a $20 digital membership, so that'll save you some money. You get a digital version of the club. You get ebooks, right? But the $55 will get you the black and white version of the book, as well as a membership. So I got another minute here. Let's see what else we're doing. I'll just play a little music on the way out, I guess, right? Why not, right? So let's see, what else could I play here? How about this one? This sounds like fun. So I'll be back and doing the Cosmic Spaceship.